Welcome to MPN Update. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. I met with Dr. Claire Harrison, and to begin, she presented a 67-year-old woman from her practice.
She'd had a 10-year history of polycythemia vera, previously treated with hydroxyurea, so a very, very typical patient. However, during latter times, she developed a skin rash, sort of facial erythema, weight loss, and her hemoglobin had fallen. She was referred to us at that time with, you know, this patient's not really happy with her current treatment. What do you think? So we were quite suspicious because there were several features there that suggested that this patient no longer had straightforward P. vera. So I wouldn't expect to have a patient with a downward trend in hemoglobin on a stable dose of hydroxyurea. Of course, we have to think about other things. Is this patient developing a colon cancer? Do they have a peptic ulcer? You know, are they developing B12 deficiency? But if all of those things are ruled out and the patient's losing weight and we can't find a malignancy or blood loss, we have to be thinking about transformation to myelofibrosis. And we made the diagnosis of post-PVMF for this patient based on the blood count change, presence of splenomegaly. She also had some leukoerythroblastic features and an elevated LDH.
Could I ask what your thoughts were why she had the skin rash?
So skin rash, great question. Of course, patients expect us to be experts at all things. And I'm no dermatologist, but I've seen plenty of skin toxicity with hydroxyurea in my time. This lady had some pustules and erythema. The possible diagnosis was acne rosacea, but actually her family doctor had already instituted sort of, typical treatment for that, which hadn't worked. So in my view, I had in mind that this might well be a toxicity of hydroxyurea.
And did it go away once the hydroxyurea was stopped?
It did, but it took a little bit of time. And I wasn't sure that it would, so I certainly didn't say to my patient it definitely would. What I said to her was, it might. So what we did for this lady, based on the fact that she had splenomegaly and she had symptoms and she had evidence of progressive disease, was we started her on ruxolitinib.
She had a JAK mutation?
She did. She had a JAK mutation. And actually, you know, the vast majority of patients who have post-PVMF have a JAK mutation. But of course, the presence of a JAK mutation is not a prerequisite for knowing that a patient's going to respond to ruxolitinib or that you should even consider ruxolitinib. We know that, for example, patients who have a CALR mutation or indeed a triple negative will respond.
Yeah, I was mentioning because I guess what in PV, almost all the patients do have JAK mutations.
Yes, but I'm mindful of one or two patients I have on my service. I have one patient who has a LINK mutation, and so that's a really rare mutation that we picked up screening this young patient for an erythrocytosis where we couldn't find another cause. The EPO level was low, so we were suspicious of PV. He wasn't keen on a bone marrow. So we found a LINK mutation and we're still trying to persuade him to have a bone marrow. But by far, the vast majority of patients with PV will have a JAK mutation.